Hey, this is Mike Bobbitt. I'm a guy who used to make things, and sometimes I still do. These days, I prefer making podcasts, and I have a new one called Soundtrack to My Life. On this podcast, I talk to different creative people about the music that shaped them. Sometimes the conversations are funny, and sometimes they're just kind of sweet.
I love that Pina Colada song. Yeah, I do.
Rihanna has had a huge impact on my songwriting.
I'm diving into the ocean, finding that one fish that has the toxins, and I'm just drinking those toxins all day.
Maybe they're saying, like, you should now go forth and rock. It's like a peace be with you situation.
I also have a playlist called F-Jams. One and two, just in case.
We danced to a jazz version of My Favorite Things.
Soundtrack to My Life. It's available exclusive on Spotify. It's a exclusive. I'm going to try to make that word take off. It's a music plus talk show, meaning I can play songs in their entirety. So think of this as an interactive playlist with some of the coolest creative people I know, and you should know too. Soundtrack to My Life, a Spotify exclusive.
Are you listening?
Hey everybody, welcome to the Are You Listening podcast, where two friends sit down and talk about music for a little while. My name is Scott. I'm here with my good friend and co-host Brand. Brand, how's it going, man?
I'm biting my tongue. I was going to try to do an Irish accent of some sort. And
oof.
No, would not have worked out. It probably would have been offensive somehow.
I imagine a terrible Irish accent could offend some people.
I'm still thinking about it.
So oh, no. Well, I mean, if we're going to talk about it, St. Paddy's Day was on Sunday. Do you did you do anything? Do you have any like St. Paddy's Day traditions?
What does that mean? Is that a thing?
What does that mean?
I thought the only St. Paddy's Day traditions were like getting hammered.
I mean, yeah.
What do you do on St. Paddy's Day?
I don't drink alcohol, so.
Okay, first off, are you Irish?
Yes, I am. Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a little bit, I guess, but.
Yeah. It used to be I'd have a Guinness at least. Okay. Way back, I'd have some green beers and go hang out with some friends at some bars. But now it's I got to grab me a Shamrock Shake.
Oh, now we're talking.
Yeah.
Although this comes out after that. So I guess I didn't get a Shamrock Shake. How does this work with the timeline? I'm gonna get one now.
There you go. I like it. Yeah, that's my tradition nowadays is Shamrock Shake. At least one.
Since I've been legal age to drink, I haven't drank on St. Paddy's Day. I'm sure I drank on St. Paddy's Day accidentally back in the day.
Right, sure. Drinking.
Yeah.
Not realizing it was the 17th of March.
Since it's been legal for me to drink. No, I have not. And yeah, I've never done anything for St. Paddy's Day. I actually think that a couple years ago I had like almost a panic attack thinking of that I didn't have green on. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? What does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all. And I'm not Irish. No,
then it really doesn't matter.
But we're here to talk about an Irish band. That's why Irish thing is happening.
Sure. We're here because I gave you the Pogues.
Indeed.
You heard about them in our first Christmas song draft.
Yeah.
They were my first pick as favorite Christmas song.
Which is crazy to me.
It's actually on this record. That's why I brought you this record.
I'm aware of that now.
I'm so excited to get into it. But I have some notes before we get into your track-by-track review.
Absolutely.
Of If I Should Fall From Grace With God by the Pogues. So are you ready for some notes?
Let's hit it.
Now, usually we have an issue where the band we're talking about, it's hard to come by notes.
Too many notes.
There are way too many notes about the Pogues.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many notes. So I have some and then some cleanup. And man, here we go. The Pogues were an English or Anglo-Irish Celtic punk band founded in King's Cross, London in 1982.
So not founded in Ireland?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Yeah. Originally named Pogue Mahone after a James Joyce Irish phrase meaning kiss my arse, the band fused punk influences with instruments such as the tin whistle, banjo, cittern, mandolin, and accordion. The Pogues were initially poorly received in traditional Irish music circles, Tommy Mackem, a noted musician, calling them the greatest disaster to hit Irish music, but were subsequently credited with reinvigorating the genre. The band later incorporated influences from other musical traditions, including jazz, flamenco, and Middle Eastern music.
Okay, so hold on. They are Irish or they're not Irish?
Some of the band members are Irish, but they were founded in London.
I just wanted to make sure there were actually Irish guys in here, or we got some some stolen valor or something going on here.
No.
Okay.
Some of the members are Irish, yes.
Okay.
I was going to say full-fledged Irish, but I'm not 100% sure that they are 100% full-fledged Irish, but they could be like me, where a percentage of their genetic makeup is from Ireland.
Well, I mean, I just figured with all the notes, you might have DNA makeup somewhere.
I cut a lot of notes out.
Okay, good.
The band started off playing in London pubs and clubs and became known for their energetic, raucous live shows. After gaining wider attention as an opening act for The Clash in their 1984 tour and shortening their name to The Pogues, they released their first studio album, Red Roses for Me, in October 1984. Throughout their career, the band would be a volatile environment with members coming, going, fighting, returning, and even leaving after marrying Elvis Costello.
Oh, okay. All right.
One of the, I think she was original bassists, ended up, so the Pogues had Elvis Costello as a producer on one of their records.
I think it was their second one. I saw that. Yeah. I saw that fun fact on Amazon Music.
On Amazon, yeah. The bassist ended up marrying Elvis Costello and leaving the Pogues.
Good for them, I guess. Everybody's happy.
Right? If I Should Fall from Grace with God is the third studio album by Celtic folk punk band The Pogues. The album was released on January 18th, 1988, in the wake of their biggest hit single, Fairy Tale of New York, which was released the previous November and ended up as the UK's Christmas number two song, held back by the Pet Shop Boys synth pop version of Always on My Mind.
Doesn't the British Christmas song, don't they, like, isn't there something weird with it? Like they dictate the charts or something every year.
Like, it's like it's a big deal.
But like, because the population of the Brit is so much smaller than like America, let's say.
Yeah.
Isn't like, don't they like sometimes get together and like, they're like, all right, let's make this one number one. And then like, they can do that.
I kind of think so. And I'm pretty sure that's what happened with the Pet Shop Boys beating the Pogues.
Okay.
There is quite a bit of controversy involved in that year's Christmas rankings.
I think there might be controversy in every year's Christmas
rankings. In every year's Christmas rankings.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I didn't know it was such a big deal until I watched, what was that movie? Love Actually, where the old man puts out a Christmas cover of a song and it reaches number one. And in the movie,
I haven't watched that movie in a long time.
Oh, really? We used to watch it every Christmas without Lucas.
It's not on my short list of Christmas movies, that's for sure.
No, it's one of our favorites. We love it, Emily and I.
Nothing against it.
Okay.
You don't have to fight me. You don't have to fight me about it, Scott.
No.
You can have it.
No, I love it. But anyway, If I Should Fall From Grace With God became the band's best-selling album, peaking at number 3 on the UK albums charts and reaching the top 10 in several other countries. The album saw the arrival of 3 new members: bassist Daryl Hunt, Philip Chevron joined on guitar, and Terry Woods played cittern and other instruments. These 3 joined with Andrew Rankin on drums and vocals, Jem Finer on banjo and saxophone, multi-instrumentalist James Fearnley, Spider Stacy on tin whistle and vocals, as well as Shane McGowan on vocals and guitar.
All right. It's a big band.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big band. The album was well received by critics, even getting a 10 out of 10 rating from NME. The Irish Times, Mojo, and Sounds Publications all gave the album 5 out of 5 stars. The reaction from U.S. critics was also very positive. Kurt Loder wrote in Rolling Stone that obviously the Pogues can do it all and it sounds as if they've only just begun. Kurt Loder wrote for Rolling Stone.
Yeah, I mean, he's like 70s now and it feels rough. Like it feels like he shouldn't be that old.
I guess I didn't think of his age because I only remember him from MTV News. Yeah.
Yeah, he's in his 70s now, I think.
Wow, that's wild. Michael Corcoran of Spin stated that, quote, "It's got guts and soul and will make poor people dance until 4 a.m., even if they have to be at work until 7 a.m. And that despite containing a few songs that could be skipped over, this LP on cassette will cause more wear on the rewind button than on the fast forward."
Okay.
What a time capsule of a review.
Yeah. Yeah, big time.
That's it for notes because I didn't want to get too crazy with them. I do have albums released and charts. Okay. There's not a whole lot of albums released.
Okay.
In January 1988. So we'll start with those. Coming out on the 4th, we have the debut album, self-titled album from the band LA Guns.
I know the name, but I couldn't pull any of their songs out of a lineup of an album.
Hair metal?
I think.
I think.
Sunset Strip stuff?
Yeah, that's where I go with it. Like Motley Crue era type shit?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, yeah. Though. I can't say for sure.
Me neither. Coming out on the 18th, we have AC/DC with Blow Up Your Video.
Definitely not an AC/DC I know. Late 80s AC/DC. Weird.
Yeah. Also on the 18th, Social Distortion with Prison Bound. I like it. It's a good record.
I only know one Social D record. Which one was it?
Mommy's Little Monster.
Yep, that's the only one
that
I
was
know.
The one I brought you. Yeah.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. Coming out on the 19th, we have Megadeth with So Far, So Good, So What. That's an earlier Megadeth than you heard.
Yep, didn't listen to that one.
Coming out on the 25th, we have David Lee Roth with Skyscraper.
Okay. Man, this is a weird, weird time.
Yeah. I'm guessing post Van Halen, David Lee Roth solo record.
Has to be that clown out there on the stage.
Yeah. And then we have some question mark dates.
Of course, releases.
Yeah. James Taylor with Never Die Young. I don't know it.
I know the name James Taylor. What's he big for? Like, what did he get famous for?
Like, he's kind of a folky artist. Like,
yeah.
But I want to say like 60s, 70s, I thought.
Okay. All right. Yeah. This is right in my wheelhouse.
So I don't know what 88 James Taylor sounds like.
Okay. Yeah. Wonder if Kurt Loder knows.
He probably does. Also a question mark, 808 State with the record New Build. I have absolutely no idea.
You don't even know who 808 State is?
No idea.
Yeah, me neither. So why is it on your list?
Because there's only 15 records.
Oh, okay. That's fair then, I guess. Yeah. 808 State. Yeah, sure. Love them.
Yeah. Also question mark, date of Frontline Assembly with State of Mind.
No, nothing there.
Nope. Last one, Billy Ocean with Tear Down These Walls. I believe Billy Ocean's like a 80s R&B type singer.
Yeah, I know who Billy Ocean is, but I couldn't. He probably has a song that I know, but I couldn't pull out a Billy Ocean.
No, yeah, me neither. Nope. So that's all the records released January of 1988.
Great.
We are scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, I think we are. Yep.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it before. January is pretty sparse as far as record release month.
Yeah, and then especially in 88.
And then I was going to say, add on to it, 1988. Yeah, there's not much going.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
Yeah, real tough. So I got the Billboard Hot 100 and Billboard 200. Where do you want to go?
I'm just glad you didn't do the like the Brit charts. I thought you were going to really fucking throw the shit out.
Nah.
I probably won't know either of these. Which one do you got in the notebook first? Give me that.
The Billboard Hot 100 for the week of January 23rd, 1988. Coming in at number five, Hazy Shade of Winter by the Bangles.
It was a hazy shade of winter.
Is that the actual song?
No, that was, I think it's OAR. They did Crazy Game of Poker. It was a crazy game of poker.
I have no idea who that is or what that song is.
It was just the same syllables, so that's why I came in my head. I have no idea what that is.
Coming in at number four, one you might know, Got My Mind Set on You by George Harrison. I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. But it's gonna take money.
No, Scott.
No.
And usually when you sing things, I can be like, oh, maybe I'll check that out. That one. No,
that's a rough one.
I think I'm good.
Plus, I'm feeling a bit under the weather, so I'm sure my singing voice is not great right now.
I mean, I barely like John Lennon. So you think I'm going to go like a... You're going to go like a inferior Beatle? I don't think so.
Hey. Come on. Hey,
there's ranks. There's ranks to these Beatles. Let's be real. Number one, like John Lennon. Number two, the clone George of Harrison. Paul McCartney. Number three, Paul McCartney. Number four.
That's not true. Coming in number three, we have Could Have Been by Tiffany.
She had a huge hit, but I don't think it's that, right?
I don't think it was that one. No, I don't know what it was.
I watched a documentary about Tiffany. Like it was about two of her super fans or something, but in like 2012.
Oh, wow.
Like still obsessed with her and shit like that.
And in 2012.
It gets like real sad too. Like, it's like, guys, it's like, oh, there's like issues with these guys, but we're going to continue to, exploit this, I guess. It's fucking
rough. Well, of course, always.
Yeah, not great. Not great.
Rough. Coming in number two, we have Need You Tonight by NXS.
Maybe if I heard it, I'd know it, but no.
I'm not going to sing it because my George Harrison didn't go over very well.
Yeah, but I'm going to blame George Harrison for that, not you.
Oh, wow.
For some reason, I'm waging war on George Harrison this episode.
I guess.
You know, one where somebody might listen to it and be like, oh, maybe I'll check more of these guys out. No, that dude's shitting all over George Harrison. No fucking way.
All right. No. Coming at number one, The Way You Make Me Feel by Michael Jackson.
The Way You Make Me Feel. That's not it either.
No, that's not a
different song.
Yeah.
That is, who the fuck, that's a very modern song. I'm not trying to pull it, but it's definitely like a post 2015 song, probably.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't know that either. Man, late 80s, early 90s.
You're not.
Unless it's REM, I'm out.
Right. Yeah. the longest running on the Hot 100, coming in at 28 weeks, number 89 on the list, In My Dreams by REO Speedwagon.
Obviously, I know who REO Speedwagon is. I don't think I know that song.
I don't think I know that song either.
What a weird time for music. But I guess it wouldn't be weird for the people who were like a certain age at this time. Like, they'd be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, in 88, I was 6 years old.
I was negative two.
Yeah. Yeah, buddy. All right. We got the Billboard 200. Week of January 23rd, 1988. Coming in at number five, Whitesnake by the band Whitesnake.
Yeah, is that the one with their hit?
Probably.
Has to be. Self-titled, right? Yeah, that's a big record. I don't think I own it. I wouldn't mind owning it. I don't think I dislike Whitesnake.
I'm not a big hair metal guy.
Yeah, I had a hair metal phase.
I think I'm realizing.
I got into hair metal for a while. I had a hair metal phase. But my hair metal phase was before I was a full album guy, so that might change it.
Oh, yeah. You were a hits guy.
I was just a shuffle a couple songs and only listen to a minute of them guy.
Gotcha. You're not even a hits guy.
No.
Coming to number four, we have Michael Jackson with Bad.
Okay. I obviously know the record, but
yeah,
Michael Jackson, obviously one of the biggest, if not the biggest artist of all time. So if I didn't know Michael Jackson, I shouldn't be on the show.
You're right. Coming in at number three, we have the Dirty Dancing soundtrack.
Okay. Seen some soundtracks on here. I get it. I see what's up. Dirty Dancing is huge. Huge.
Nobody puts Baby in a Corner.
Nobody, Scott. Nobody.
Nobody.
I probably have seen, it's probably been just as long that I haven't seen Dirty Dancing that I saw Love Actually. Probably just about the same amount of time.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I probably saw both of them when I was too young to care or like,
doesn't
matter. So like if I rewatch now, I'd probably love them, but I don't know.
I don't know if I've seen Dirty Dancing all the way through.
That's weird that you only see half of it.
It might have been the thing, like it was on TV and I saw some of it.
Oh, okay.
But okay. Yeah.
I know for a long time I confused Dirty Dancing and Footloose with each other, so.
Oh.
Just because they were both movies about dancing from the 80s.
But one starring Patrick Swayze and one starring Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, they were the same person for me for a while.
Coming in at number two, we have George Michael with Faith. Gotta have faith, the faith, the faith.
Yeah, I prefer Limp Bizkit's one, but...
Oof.
Man, I wish that was a joke.
Oh, no!
But I don't dislike George Michael, and he has one of the greatest Christmas songs of all time, so...
Yeah. Coming in at number one, we have Tiffany with Tiffany.
Yeah. So it would have been the record with the giant hit, I guess, because she wouldn't...
I imagine.
Second record. First of all, second record is not going to be self-titled if the first one wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I still don't know what could have been. I don't know that track.
I mean, that's not the big one, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, I Think We're Alone Now. That's the big one.
Oh, okay.
I Think We're Alone Now.
That was a huge song.
Could have been. You said could have been?
Yeah.
It looks like that's her sixth hit.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that was number three on the charts. I have some long-running records on the charts. They're right around 100 weeks, so I went with a few of them. Okay. Coming in at number 115 at 98 weeks, Elton John with Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
I own it. That's a good record. I like that record.
Yeah. Yep, me too. Yeah, very good.
But at 98 weeks, like that's mid-80s then. That's not like late 80s.
No.
That'd be like 86, right?
Right.
Roughly. Yeah. 86, 87. So yeah. So right, late 80s are still, so far late 80s are still flop. So let's go to the next one.
Coming in at number 128 with 128 weeks on the charts, George Winston with December.
I love the question mark at the end of that because I don't know it.
Yeah, I have no idea who George Winston is.
No.
But 128 weeks.
Yeah, that's
is insane.
That's wild.
And for us not to know who it is, I mean, you're talking over 2 years.
When I Googled it, it says American pianist.
Okay.
And it says, he died in 2023.
Okay.
It says George Winston, pianist of pastoral scenes.
I don't know what that is.
Contemporary instrumental performer best known for solo piano recordings.
All right.
Came to prominence in 1980.
Sure.
With his album Autumn, which was followed in 1982 by Winter into Spring and December.
Okay.
Yeah, pianist, I guess. So... Big piano times, I guess, back then.
I guess. Coming in at number 130 with 99 weeks on the charts, Janet Jackson with Control.
Ooh, I have that one. I like that record. That record. Is it blasphemy to say that I like Janet Jackson more than Michael Jackson's music?
I don't think that's blasphemy.
It would have been in 88.
I don't know about that either.
Oh, yeah, because I guess 88 would have been when she was almost like her biggest, right?
Well, I mean, Control was 99 weeks on the charts.
Yeah, but Bad is up there right now.
Bad is number 4 on the charts.
Yeah.
At that time.
I don't know. It might be that situation where I've heard a lot of those Michael Jackson songs so many times that they don't hit the way they should. They're incredible songs. But because they're incredible songs, they have been played ad infinitum
over and over and over.
Everything.
Yeah.
So like, give me some Janet. And I guess I'd have to compare some Michael deep cuts, but that's hard because first of all, Thriller didn't have a single deep cut.
No, that whole record.
It was hits.
Hit after hit after hit. Yeah.
And I'm assuming Bad probably didn't have a lot of B-sides, deep cuts either.
No, it had a whole bunch of hits on it too.
Yeah, I don't know. So I guess you can't really compare. I don't know. But I think that's where I'm at. I think I like Janet more than I like Michael.
All right. I respect it.
All right. Man, I'm just...
That's a good take.
So far, I've lost George Harrison fans. I've lost Michael Jackson fans.
Yeah, you're really polarizing some of the fan base.
I mean, it cannot be worse than our Metallica episode, so...
next on the charts, we have at 131 with 712 weeks on the charts.
Holy fuck, consecutive? Do we know?
No, I don't think it's consecutive. Do you want to take a stab at it?
I don't, because I don't want to feel like an idiot when I guess something that wasn't how many years prior. I want to say it's like Pink Floyd, but I don't know when their records came out.
Yep, it's Dark Side of the Moon.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to assume. That's what I wanted to say, but I didn't want to say that. And then you'd be like, you fucking idiot. That didn't come out. No. Not that you've ever come at me like that, but that's still the insecurity.
I don't think I've ever come at anybody like that.
No, I cut it out. Nobody knows you come at me like that.
Dark Side of the Moon, 712 weeks on the charts. Yep.
It's a long, long time.
Long time. Coming in at 136 with 48 weeks on the charts. Self-titled Whitney Houston album.
Okay.
I didn't realize it was on the charts for so long.
There's probably massive hits on that, right?
Oh, I'm sure. Good for Whitney. And then the last one I have coming in at 159, 127 weeks on the charts. I'm sure not consecutive because it came out well before the 80s. The Beatles, Abbey Road.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure one of these days, and somehow we circled back to the Beatles, but I'm sure you're going to try to talk me into a Beatles draft at some point. And I would
personally love to do it, but I know how you feel about them.
Could we expand? I think I could do a Beatles universe draft because I could get a lot of John Lennon stuff.
I think we would fight over at least one.
Then I'm taking a Yoko record. I don't care.
Oh, you do that. You're a big double fantasy guy.
I have one of her art books, and she's fascinating.
She is something.
Do you know who probably, and this is not only is this a deep cut, it's kind of an inside show joke. You know who probably loves Yoko Ono?
Huh.
Merzbow.
Oh, God. You're probably right.
Because she was like one of the like instrumental points of that like noise music and like shit like that. Like that was like her whole thing.
Right. Oh man.
Merzbow definitely loves Yoko.
100%.
Man, if we ever had an opportunity for merch, it would be like Merzbow hearts Yoko shirts.
That would be great.
Okay. Sorry.
No, it's good. So that's it for the charts. That's it for the notes. Brand, the Pogues, If I Should Fall from Grace with God. We listened to the version that's kind of the original, 13 tracks, 44-ish minutes, released January 18th, 1988. What do you got for me?
So the opener, we'll just start, If I Should Fall from Grace with God. Title track, obviously.
Title track, yep.
And off bat, very first note I have written down is, oh yeah, this sounds like Flogging Molly. I'm gonna love it.
That's good, at least.
Right off bat, I was like, here we fucking go. And then, like you told me they were Irish. They may have even come up when I mentioned Flogging Molly. Like you may have been like, oh, have you ever listened to the Pogues? And
I think that's how we started with talking about the Pogues before.
Yeah. And the answer was no, never even heard of the Pogues.
Yeah.
So when this sounded like Flogging Molly, I was like, oh, yes, let's go. Let's go. And then where I thought Flogging Molly were like peak Irish influenced, this is even deeper. Like you could even hear it deeper in this.
Right.
A quick mood setter opener. Excellent track. Great track. But from before, where the only scale of reference I had was Flogging Molly to Dropkick Murphys. Like that was it, essentially, of Irish influence. As far as
Irish music. Yeah.
And then, well, Walking on Cars.
No, there was that. Yeah.
So then when I hear this and it's like, oh my God, this is way past Flogging Molly. Let's go. Like I'm ready to rip into this thing. I'm excited. Oh, I love the track. Great opener.
Oh, fantastic. I love this as an opener. I think it's a great song. What did you think of? I know how you feel strongly about vocals when you first hear them. How did you feel about Shane McGowan's vocals?
Speaking of blasphemy, they just sound like Flogging Molly. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like that's just kind of where I'm at. Like I just hear Flogging Molly, like the way he's singing. And it could be Flogging Molly directly ripping him off. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it would be more of that. Yeah.
That's probably what it is. But because I've only ever experienced Flogging Molly, that's all I'm hearing. And I have no problems with them at all. None.
Okay. Fantastic.
Moving on to Turkish Song of the Damned.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Something Flogging Molly never did was use other European influences. And now, now that I said it, is Turkey in Europe or is Turkey an Asian country?
Oh, you know what? I never thought about it.
Like, now that I'm saying it.
Middle East. It's a Middle Eastern country.
Yeah. So it's in Europe and Asia. So we're kind of both right?
Yeah.
Wow. Weird thing there. But yeah, I guess so. Middle Eastern country? Yeah.
Yeah.
My bad, Turkey. Didn't mean to do you like that.
Sorry about that.
But Flogging Molly definitely never used any other influences other than Irish. So like hearing this... I was like, wow, this is, and I talk about this a lot of how kind of important this could be. It's very interesting. I love it.
Yeah.
I love that this Turkish influence is happening. There is a big part though, that reminds me of a Flogging Molly song when they're singing, Wailing Away on the Wall. It sounds exactly like Seven Deadly Sins. Sail away with a ball and chain. Like it sounds exactly the same. It's the exact same cadence. Now, is that some Irish song that they just used a melody to? Possibly.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know, but it sounds exactly the same. So again, I have that bit of connection to it though. And I think it's interesting that they have that other influence in here. Big fan of this song. Big fan.
Yeah, I thought the switch up in style. Quite interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. So 2 for 2. We're 2 for 2. Great song.
Fantastic.
Moving on to Bottle of Smoke.
Yeah.
Such a fast one here that I can't even come close to the lyrics without seeing them. Like I can't even attempt it.
That's kind of why I asked about how you felt about his vocals.
Yeah.
Because Shane McGowan is known for being an indulger of substances.
Oh, you don't say.
And sometimes to the point of being sloppy with his speaking and singing. This song plays into that quite a bit, I think.
And then add on to that, the Irish accent.
Yeah.
Because Flogging Molly, sometimes you can't understand a goddamn word they're saying either. And they are enunciating hard.
Yeah. Dave King at least opens his mouth when he sings. Yeah. Shane McGowan, kind of.
And even though I can't get close to the lyrics without reading them, I don't even care. This is great. This is such an energetic like crest of this wave at the beginning of this record. It's so fun. It's so good. This is my shit. I'm actually getting a little angry at Flogging Molly for just ripping these guys off and never informing me of them.
Just straight ripping off the Pogues.
Straight ripping them off and never even like telling me the Pogues exist. You know what I mean? Right. Like never even being like, hey, you listen to the Pogues. Fuck you, Flogging Molly. Like you're just ripping them off.
Well, great. I'm feeling fantastic right now.
Moving on to Fairytale in New York.
Yeah, buddy.
And I remember about you taking this. I remember you taking this in a draft, and you were. It was just like, yeah, I took it, and I was like, all right, because I had no place.
You had no idea about it.
No, it's fine. Like it's a decent track. I ended up liking it more and more the more times I heard it, and more than I thought I should have. Almost
okay.
Like I ended up liking it. I was like, wow, I actually dig this pretty hard. I do appreciate that it's a nice breathing point for the record. Like we've just been firing on all cylinders for four tracks. So like, or three tracks, and then coming into this one, it's like, all right, take a breath, take a breather. Here we go.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Christy McColl's voice.
She is angelic on this track.
And then even more of a fan of when they're going back and forth. I like that quite a bit. I like that quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Four for four. Fairytale New York. Another one. Good track.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Metropolis.
Mm-hmm.
Fun Irish instrumental, nice and folky. I'm hoping it's revving me up for the next song after this little break. Let's go. The horns in here feel like they're out of a spy movie, and it's weird, but it's not as quick as I would hope it would be, to be honest, though. Like, it's an interlude, but it's just a little long for me. Like, it should.
It feels a little long, but like it keeps me interested throughout the whole song. But yeah, as far as an instrumental, like instrumental interlude, it does go on for quite a bit, a little bit longer than it should.
Like 30 seconds too long.
Yeah, maybe.
Moving on to Thousands Are Sailing.
Yeah.
I think I may have been too hyped up off these first couple tracks. This one feels closer to what I was expecting, if I'm being 100% honest. It kind of feels like some... like what I would expect some rock from the late 80s infused with Irish to sound like. That's like kind of just what I'm getting.
This is where you get the time period.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. It's not bad, but it's not what I was anticipating, especially after those first couple tracks. I do come to like this one more after a couple of listens, but it doesn't stop me from still wanting the energy and sound of those first couple tracks.
Yeah. The first initial punch from the first couple tracks is such a banger that it's, I even have this problem where halfway through this, like I'm kind of tired from being so amped up at the beginning this midway point kind of loses me a bit.
Well, let's move on to Fiesta.
Yeah, buddy.
While they are all over the place on this record, how is this equally as good as the other shit they're doing? Like, how is this Spanish Mexican vibe equally as good as their Irish vibe? It's so fun. I did not have this on my bingo card. It sounds like Spanish Rancid. It's fucking excellent. It's excellent stuff here. I wish I spoke Spanish. I think I love this track, and I don't. There's a part of me that feels like if there's not a Spanish person in here, it could be them making fun of it, but I don't speak Spanish, so I don't know.
I don't know what I mean. Yeah, yeah.
But I think this track is excellent. I love this track.
Yeah, I love the switch up into Fiesta. And it sounds like such a fun time.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, it just sounds like a party, a freaking party.
Yes, yes. Moving on to Medley, The Recruiting Sergeant, The Rocky Road to Dublin, and Galway Races.
Yeah.
This feels like maybe like covers of old Irish folk songs. Is that a thing? What it is?
I think so. I didn't really dive into that. I probably should have.
It sounds very like bar shanty-esque. Not against them at all, but they keep putting speed bumps in this road in front of me, and then putting this after Fiesta is unfair.
Yeah.
Like, you can't give me Fiesta and then build this brick wall in front of me. Like, come on now. What are we doing?
Yeah, The Recruiting Sergeant was originally done by Dominic Behan.
Great.
The Rocky Road to Dublin, I know, is an older song, and Galway Races, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I imagine it's also it's the Dubliners did that one.
Okay. Moving on to Streets of Sorrow / Birmingham 6. Whoa, a ballad? Like, I was not anticipating a ballad here. Really unexpected. It's a pretty solid track, though, but name an 80s ballad of any genre that isn't good. I don't think you can.
No, they're all fantastic. That was like the crown jewel of the 80s.
They really know how to write a ballad in the 80s. Then it rises out of this ballad into like an Irish rock sound. And I'm sure this is an important song about important things, but I guess I'm not locked in enough here. Musically, it's great, like sonically, but maybe it's because it's a bit dated being 35 years old.
Yeah.
Like that might be a little bit of what's happening here, but it's sure. It's good. It's good. But I couldn't tell you the point of this song. And right. I think maybe the point of it was lost to history also. Moving on to Lullaby of London. I'm getting less and less mad at Flogging Molly through this. They only ripped off the parts I wanted to hear, I guess.
Oh, man.
Nothing bad here. Just like an acoustic rock track with Irish influence. Nothing that gives me like revolutionary vibes like the first couple tracks where I was like, oh, my God, this is crazy. This is so good.
Yeah.
It's just kind of happens. I wouldn't mind these if they were like sporadically on this record. Like if you would have broken up those first couple throughout the record, I think it would help the record for me.
You're right.
But I'm just not getting enough now of what I had already assumed I was getting from the first couple tracks.
Sure. Like
I assumed I was getting something and now I'm not getting it.
Yeah.
That's where we sit. Like you said, maybe I'm tired at this point. I was like, well, they really built me up and now my heart's running and I'm just standing here.
Yeah, right. I get it.
Sit Down by the Fire. Another solid track here, but it just misses grabbing me the way I want it to. I like all these sounds, but the energy is lacking after the openers. I like this track probably more than most of the others since the cliff we fell off of, but something's still missing here, and I think it's the energy. I think the energy's missing.
Yeah, the energy definitely, right after Fiesta.
Huge dip.
Yeah, huge dip in energy.
The Broad Majestic Shannon. Now an Irish folk song track right in my wheelhouse. I'm actually a big fan of this one.
I love this song.
Sadly, I'm at a loss for more words to say because by this point, my disappointment in the record was there from the beginning till now. Like, I do like this track, and I think out of the context of this record, it's a much better track. But because it comes after I was so hyped up at the beginning, and I'm so down by this point, I'm just like, all right, yeah, I mean, it's good, but, you know, can we go back? Can we get that energy back, guys? But it's a good track. It's a good track.
Yeah.
And then the closer, Worms.
Yeah.
Danny Elfman had to be influenced by this one. It's a Nightmare Before Christmas jingle. And if we only talk about this rarely. We did it a while at the beginning of the show, but man, the bookend test on this would fuck me so hard.
Yeah.
Because that opener to Worms makes me not listen to the record. Like, if I listen to that first track and then the last track, I'd be like, ooh, man.
What happened? What happened in the middle there?
What kind of fucking car accident went on in the middle of this record?
Right.
And the car accident is the car hitting all those brick walls they were putting up in front of me. That's what happened.
Yeah.
So, my top three, I guess. In order to not keep harping on how much I love the beginning of this track, this record, I'm going to say If I Should Fall from Grace with God is one.
Okay.
I'm going to say Fiesta is two. So I got one from near the middle.
There you go.
And then Fairy Tale of New York, Scott, three.
Hey, fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad you like that one.
I did. I didn't at first, but also it's the part of my brain that says, well, if somebody else likes this, you can't. So I
know, right. Right.
Which is essentially what this whole fucking show is, but
yeah. Right. My number one is Fairy Tale of New York is my number one. I love that song. My number two is Bottle of Smoke. And then my number three is The Broad Majestic Shannon.
Okay.
I really, really like that song, even though it's good track. At the end of a very down plummet of energy.
I think a remastered track list helps us out. Like if you gave me this and I could sit down with it and reorder the track list, it's a different record, but I think it'd be a better record for me. Maybe it's not a better record for everybody. Maybe there's people that listen to this that after those three tracks, they're like, okay, now we're getting into it. You know what I mean? Like maybe,
right. Yeah.
Maybe people don't want what I want out of this, but
Sure.
That's why all this music exists. So you can take what you want to listen to.
You know it. Well, before I ask you the question, I have some cleanup. Well, not cleanup, but just notes after this record was released. After the 1989 release of the band's album, Peace and Love, the Pogues were at the peak of their commercial success, but McGowan became increasingly unreliable. He failed to turn up for the opening dates of their 1988 tour of America and prevented the band from promoting their 1990 album, Hell's Ditch. So in 91, the band sacked him following a chaotic live performance at the WOMAD Festival in Japan. Vocal duties were for a time handled by Joe Strummer from the Clash.
That's weird. That's weird.
Right? Yeah. Spider Stacy would permanently take over vocal duties after Strummer left in the winter of 91. Terry Woods, James Fearnley, and Phil Chevron would leave the band after their 93 album, Waiting for Herb, was released. With only four long-term band members, the Pogues would record their seventh and final album, Pogue Mahone, and it was a commercial failure. And in 1996, the remaining members decided to quit. Oof. McGowan battled long-standing health issues compounded by well-documented struggles with substance abuse. He was a famously voracious consumer of drugs and prone to physical trauma. It was reported in July 2023 that Shane was hospitalized in an intensive care unit. Following treatment for an infection, he was discharged from St. Vincent's University Hospital in November. On November 30th, after receiving last rites, McGowan died from pneumonia at his home in Dublin with his wife by his side. He was 65 years old. Brand!
you really love bringing these episodes down with deaths at the end. You love it.
Well, I mean, I have to, because it was so recent. It happened. And
yeah.
It happened and was it was really sad for me. Because not only did Shane McGowan front the Pogues for a long time, he did a lot of offshoot bands and other musical things, and I was a fan, so I wanted to acknowledge his passing.
I'm not. You're good, Scott. You don't need to defend it. You're good. It was a joke. I'm sorry. I guess
it's all right. So anyway, Brand, I'll ask the question now. The Pogues, If I Should Fall from Grace with God. Throne, own, phone, or groan?
If you would ask me that three tracks into this,
yeah,
it probably would have been close to a throne, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Like that's how much those first couple tracks was like, holy fuck, man. Like, this is my shit. I love this.
Yeah.
And then five, six, seven tracks in, I'd be like, okay, well, you know, half of this is great. It's probably an own. Yeah. And then, you know, 9, 10 tracks in, it's like, oh, well, I kind of only like a chunk of this. So it's probably a phone.
Yeah.
And then it stayed there because the more I revisited even some of the songs I didn't like, they grew on me a little bit. But as a whole record, I can't see sitting and spinning it. Like, it just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, sure.
I would have to spin. Well, side A would be what? Metropolis and side A?
I'm not sure. I'd have to get my copy and check. But maybe Fiesta.
There's no way Fiesta ends side A. I could see Fiesta opening side B.
Yeah, that might be it.
But yeah, it'd be rough. It'd be rough for me to spin this. So it's a phone, though. It's not a groan, because I still loved some of this. I loved it. But at the end of listening, it was just like, I should go listen to some more Flogging Molly.
Fiesta open side B.
Yeah, that makes more sense. And that would be even more of a bummer, because it'd be like, I'm gonna flip this over to listen to one fucking song.
Right.
But I mean, there's good songs in there too, but it's just from what I wanted out of this and what I thought I was getting, I didn't get it. So it's a fun.
Yeah. And I respect that. There's, like we touched on, there is a definite energy loss halfway through the record. They come in so strong at the beginning of this record that it's such a shock to the system when you hit those, right when you hit medley, really.
Yeah.
It's such a downer.
It's an absolute downer. But it like when you take it into context, 88, I mean, that shit that they did the opening of this is insane. Like the insane thing that they did at the beginning of this. Just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely love side A of this record.
Yeah.
And then definitely flipping it over to side B, kind of, it's rough. It's rough.
Yeah. Absolutely is.
Yep.
So this isn't all you're listening to, though, Scott. What's your record of the week?
My record of the week is from a band that we covered previously.
Oh, I know where we're going.
Friend of the show, The Human Furnace. I've listened to Ringworm.
Yeah.
And the record in particular would be Scars is the name of it. I really enjoy Ringworm a lot.
You're a Ringworm guy now.
Dude, I am.
I want nothing more than to see you in Ringworm merch, because I think it's funny somebody being out in the world with a shirt that just says Ringworm on it and nobody understands why it's happening.
Nobody knows. Yeah. It's such a, I mean, I had never heard of them, but I'm so about it. I'm so about them. Their whole discography, I mean, it's all pretty similar. The production on Scars was a little bit better. The vocals were a little bit clearer.
Yeah.
I think that's why I chose that record. But man, I just, I friggin' love it. What a great band.
I'm glad to bring it to you. I love that record. I listened to their newest one, but other than that, I don't think I listened to any other ones. Speaking of things I love.
Yeah.
My record of the week, it's a new one, came out this year. And if I recall, I told you how much I loved this, and you responded by, I think you listened and you were like, this is absolutely a brand record.
Oh, okay.
It is the album No Name Graves by The Last 10 Seconds of Life.
Yeah, and it was 100% you.
As of now, it's my record of the year, I think. Like, it's, I love it so much. It's such a heater. It's such a pounder. All the other adjectives you could add on that are things that I enjoy. It's what it is. It's a crusher. It's great.
Yeah. It's totally you.
Yeah. 100% it is. And oh, trust me, I knew when I listened it was.
Yeah, when I hit play on it and the first 30 seconds went by, I was like, oh man. Yeah, no wonder he loves this thing.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. I see it. Yeah. I see it now.
Totally get it.
So all that's left is for me to tell you what we're listening to next week, Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. What do we got?
With that, I'll give you an option here.
Oh,
it's same band.
Okay.
But two different records.
Okay.
So do you want 2003 or do you want 97
from the same band?
From the same band.
97 or 2003. Oh man, that feels wow.
And I can even give you this. There's two records in between those two records, but those are the two that I'm choosing to do.
Ooh, let's go with,
I don't even know which way I'm leaning here. Like I'm really anticipating your answer, but I don't even know which way I'm leaning. That's why I have to put it on you.
Oh man, that's brutal. Let's go with 2003. Let's go with that one.
Okay. Yeah, that's that. 2003 seems to be my wheelhouse year. We use a lot of 03.
We kind of do. Like, I kind of wanted to go 97 because that's more me. But 2003 seems like you'd be more into it. But I'm also into 2003.
I'm telling you, I do love both of these records. So it's tough for me to choose. That's why I wanted to put it on you.
Oh, God, fuck. Let's go 97 then. Let's go 97.
Okay. Okay.
Let's try.
So 97.
Yeah.
We are, came out September 9th, 1997, Scott.
September 9th, 1997.
The album is Warpath.
Warpath.
And the band, we've mentioned them before, 6 Feet Under.
Oh, okay.
So, you know of this man, the vocalist. He's been brought up a couple times. His original band, which he was kind of unceremoniously kicked out of, was Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah, yeah.
So he went on to form 6 Feet Under, and here we are.
Yeah, we've talked about it before.
Yes, we have.
And you promised me a record from 6 feet under.
Yes.
And we're there now.
We're there. We got it.
All right. Interesting. All right. Sweet.
I have an idea of how this is going to go, but I also had an idea of how Ringworm was going to go, and it didn't go that way. So who knows?
Ringworm was fantastic.
I know. And I can't guarantee that. I cannot guarantee that. But the only difference between these two records and the episode, I think, would be that on if we chose the 03 record, when I bought the CD, actually, I may have stolen the CD off somebody. It came with a DVD of like making of the record.
Oh,
so like I just don't have the stories of not that, but of me watching that because it's sure. A fucking weird vibe. It's just kind of Chris Barnes like rolling up joints and talking to the camera. Like that's a bit like,
oh, wow. That's the whole video.
It's kind of the whole thing. Yeah. And it's actually, Stick came over my house when we were like early friends, like just kind of becoming friends.
Yeah.
And his mom called him. And I think I told the story, but I didn't give these specifics about what it was. We were watching that video and his mom called him and he said where he was and she made him leave the house because I was a bad influence. And he shouldn't be there.
Oh, so
he had to leave my house and walk like 12 houses down to a relative that he didn't even see in years to go wait for his mom to pick him up.
Because you were such a bad influence.
And I don't think it was just me. I think it was the environment that I lived in, which I get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I get it. But yeah, it felt personal to me. It felt You're like, right. Oh, great. Cool. I see you, Stick, I guess. See ya.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Warpath, 6 feet under next week.
All right. All right.
Follow us on Twitter or X at AYLpod. Follow us on Instagram at AYLpod. Send us an email at ruelistening.pod@gmail.com. Join the Facebook group. Link will be in the show notes. Scott, thank you for the podcast. Thank you for the episode. Thank you for the friendship.
Thank you, brother.
Pogues, thank you for the music.
Yeah. At least the first half of the record.
At least a couple tracks, you know? Listeners, thank you for listening.
Always.
Listen to something new. Listen to something you love.
Homework?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Yeah, but I'm going to blame George Harrison for that, not you.
An indulger of substances.
You're a Ringworm guy now. You really love bringing these episodes down with deaths at the end. You love it.